The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
I'm delighted that we have for the Culture Club today someone who hasn't been a guest on the programme for a long time. I think it might be a decade or so at this stage, which is way too long, Wallace Bird, and my apologies for that. But thank you very much for coming back to us at a time when you are releasing a really interesting new album with a German classical quintet, Spark. Tell us about this.
Yeah, it's lovely to be back again. Spark contacted me in 2018 and they had decided they want to put on a project of 1,000 years of female composers, simply because quite a lot of the work that they do is from the women that are kind of buried in society and buried in musical society, because they find them very interesting and they definitely tell a different story than most of the famous classics that we know. They're a very interesting group. Spark is a quintet, and two of their main instruments is the block flute, which a lot of people would have a kind of a not an affinity to, but the way they play it is athletic and it's very human, so that really reached out to me. But the project itself is going about 3 years now. We started playing concerts this year, and in the show we play roughly 21 artists from all over the world, female composers from 1,000 years ago. So Hildegard from Bingen, who was a nun, she was what I'd consider the equivalent of St. Bridget, all the way up to Björk and modern pieces which were written for the project. And I've written two songs myself,
including the title track, Visions of Venus.
That's the one, yeah.
How much fun was this?
I'm still having fun. it's a real gift given to me, to be honest with you. You know, they asked me on board, and it's extreme amounts of fun because it's highly challenging. As a singer, I've had to learn three different styles of singing, which are not my natural go-to. I've had to relearn theory and write my own theory so that I could catch up with them, because some of the songs are so wide in scope that I have to have a visual cue in front of me, and I have no theory, basically. I studied till I was 16, but I couldn't tell you what I'm doing, you know. I can't read theory, to be honest. So I've had to invent my own. That's been incredible as a musician. And just learning from a classical world, which is really not my world. I come from folk and rock, and just to be given this, what I consider a rare opportunity to really push myself as an artist and a lover of music. I've learned so, so much, as I'm sure you can imagine. It's been really...
But Wallace, I imagine many, many songs are brilliant to cover, but then are some songs more difficult? Not because the song itself, it's because of how much they're associated with the unique style of the singer. Because I'm seeing, for example, that you're doing tracks by the likes of Billie Holiday, Kate Bush, Björk. Mm-hmm. Now, is it a stretch to sing the songs that they have sung, or do you try and sing them in a different way?
It is a stretch. Now, it's a huge stretch because, for example, Kate Bush's voice is falsetto, or some of the more classical pieces like Fanny Hensel are all the way up here, you know. And I want to do all of the recordings justice, so I incorporate the history of how it's sung into how I sing. So it's not really just about me showing up and being myself with the music. It's about me being liberated by how they're singing the piece. And there's a whole theoretical world to classical music, so I'm not some kind of a punk artist in to throw that to the wind. I definitely want to lean into the lineage of it, because there's so much classical music which needs to be heard, and I think it's one thing to be coming from my world, it's another to incorporate the other world into how I sing.
Okay,
well, I love a challenge, I love mimicking, yeah.
Well, it's not classical we're going to be playing bits of here in the choices you've given us, your Culture Club choices, the influences. We ask for a first single, and I sometimes wonder if you should change this to the first piece of music which really grabbed me, because you've picked Moloko, This Time Is Now. now from when you were in your late teens, but tell us why this particular track is the one you've gone to for us first.
Well, I think a lot of people can would agree with me and say that it was just so unique when it came out at the time. I was a big disco goer and a raver, and I loved all of the music of the 90s. I thought it was, the early 2000s. But this one really stood out for me as a song. Her voice was so alluring, very casual. There was an acoustic bass which opened up the track, which was completely unique to anything else at the time. And there was a huge sense of pride that someone from Ireland could be so casually cool. Not since probably Phil Lynott had I heard somebody sing that caught me like that. Phil Lynott, I should say. There's a lot to love about this track. It's just so unusual.
Let's hear a little bit of This Time Is Now.
I am empty, so tell me you care for me. You're the first thing and the last thing on my mind. In your arms I feel sunshine. On a promise, a day.
Roisin Murphy and Moloko, The Time Is Now from the album Things to Make and Do. And I understand as well, Wallace, so that has a particular personal resonance for you from your time at Trinity.
I was on a school trip up to Dublin. I was only about 17 at the time, and we were walking through Trinity and a bunch of students came towards me. They looked in their early 20s. And specifically, a lady came towards me with a shaved head, and she was laughing her head off. And she looked very interesting and like she was deep in some project with somebody. And as she passed me, I was listening to The Time Is Now on my headphones. And I just remember looking at her in Trinity and the vibe that she had. She was most likely a queer person. And it was one of those moments where I said, I hope that I become somebody that looks this natural and happy someday. And I also hope that somebody walks past me someday and feels the same thing as we all, you know, enjoy each other's company. Yeah, we change each other in small ways. And I just remember that feeling being huge to me. Yeah.
Favourite album? You've given us a few. Bjork is in there. Vespertine is her album that you've picked out. Why that one?
I would say Bjork is a modern day genius, an actual, a living legend. So Vespertine, of all her albums, I think she has about 10 albums out now. Vespertine for me is one of her masterpieces. It encompasses classical music with electronica very beautifully. And it crosses over so many borders that it's something that would reach out to the most amount of people, that you could say, okay, this is how beautiful a computer can sound in a classical world. The lyrics are about lust and compulsion, falling in love, giving birth for the first time, and giving up your kingdom to join forces with a partner and stepping into that world. So, I shouldn't say giving up your kingdom. It's like She thought that she would have to give up her kingdom, and it turns out that she was very comfortable in sharing her life with somebody, which was new for her. So it's just a tour de force of production and mixing incredibly beautiful, wide-sounding, lush sounds with very glitchy, awkward and fractal computer sounds, let's say. So for me, it was an eye-opener how you could make something join those two worlds together and make it sound so homogenous, really.
And Goodbye by Sam Vance Law.
Sam Vance Law is a good friend of mine. He's a real intellectual, humorous writer. And he's also from a classical world. He sang in a choir in Oxford and played the violin for many symphony orchestras. And it's just a far reach. His heart was broken. And he wrote a song about the breakup, which sounds kind of small, but in the scope of this, it's absolutely heartbreaking. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and there's a few jabs and a few digs in there as well. So his album really does it for me. It's gets you and it slows you down. That's how I feel.
And one other you gave us, The Prodigies, Fat of the Land.
Yeah. I'm into all sorts.
You are?
Yeah.
That's not classical, certainly.
No, but it's so good that it's a classic and you can't deny it. There's real power in dance music, partly because most of the time with dance music, there's a lack of text, a lack of written lyric. And for me, that's as powerful as any kind of instrumental piece that's out there that you might have heard of, you know, a classical piece. Because it gets the heart pumping in a way and it gets the mind thinking in a way that you possibly weren't expecting or you really needed. I think lyrics sometimes are overrated, underrated. And if somebody can reach out into your chest and make you feel strongly through just instrumental music, like Fat of the Land has so many good instrumental pieces, but also it has like Breathe. And, you know, there's punk in me as well. You know, it was when it came out, it was a kick through the radio. It was unbelievable.
Let's hear a little bit of Breathe. Brilliant stuff, The Prodigy from Fat of the Land, that's Breathe from 1997. And for favourite bands, did your love of Radiohead start back in that decade as well, Wallace?
Yeah, I would say it started, I think their first album was out in 94. And my family, we all shared each other's music. We played music very loudly from each other's room. And so my brother Edgar got me into Radiohead very early on. So I've been listening to them since I'm roughly 14, which is, as we all know, the time when music really hits you hard. So Pablo Honey, and then moving into OK Computer blew my tiny mind. And I just kept growing up with them. They're an artist. They're a band that I love growing up with, you know, and they continue to outdo themselves. For example, In Rainbows was the first free album where you could decide what you wanted to pay for it, which was, you know, a huge move at the time. They've changed so drastically over time. They were an indie rock band, and then Kid A came out, and there was very little warning of it. And Kid A is this abstract, heavily electronic, almost claustrophobic world of music. And when that came out, it was akin to, you know, I mean, somebody taking, I don't know, somebody taking some acid trip or something like that.
Well, I'd love to use it as an opportunity to play the national anthem from that in particular, but I actually have to move to other things. Tell us about This Is The Kit.
This Is The Kit is a British band who I've also been growing up with. I first heard them on their first album, which I think was in 2008, roughly around the same time that I started releasing. And like I say, with Radiohead, everything that they've brought out has intrigued me. They've changed their style up a lot. They're from a folk world, and their style moves between folk instruments out into a broader scale. So they incorporate classical music in there sometimes as well.
And one last one, Sun Ra Kastra, if I pronounce that correctly.
Yeah. So Sun Ra is an artist, and for many albums he played together with different iterations of an orchestra, as they were called, which is just the wildest, most prolific jazz that you're ever going to listen to. A lot of people might want to turn the album off immediately, but if you can just loosen up and go through it, it's a mind-blowing piece of music.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Dreaming. Okay, that's very different. Sun Ra Orchestra with Dreaming. Okay, before we head to the break, Wallace Bird, you've been at so many gigs, I can imagine. So just tell us some highlights, please.
Some highlights is the first time I saw Keela in 2004. I saw them in a small venue, and I'd never seen trad Irish music played like this before. It was akin to a rave. I saw and played with Damien Dempsey in 2014, and it was in the Ivy Gardens. It was the first time I'd seen him live, actually, and I'd never seen so many people bawling their eyes out in one space. Genuinely, you look around and everybody was lost in tears of emotion. He is, for me, some kind of a monk, a priest, and he gives mass at his shows. And my friend Kevin Ryan, who recently passed, he performed in what I consider an absolutely perfect concert. He played for 2 hours and had everybody enraptured in his dulcet tones, his beautiful poetic songs. We were all playing on the stage, and I can't say more. It's just when you gather his music and all of your favorite people together in a room, it was... The feeling was palpable throughout the room. We were all really moved to tears by this man's beautiful music. So I'm honoured to have that concert as a perfect concert in my life.
We're going to take a break. Wallace Bird, stay with us, please, and we'll be back with the rest of your Culture Club after this. Welcome back. Wallace Bird is with us for the Culture Club today. We've been through all of her musical choices, so let's go to other things. So we've widened out movie to actors and directors as well. So let's start with movies. Your favourite movie is one called Soap Dish. Tell us what that is.
Soap Dish. Nobody's ever heard of it, and I find that wild because the cast and crew is just huge. Robert Zemeckis did the music, Robert Downey Jr., Whoopi Goldberg, Kevin Kline, Elizabeth Shue. God, there's so many. Sally Field is in the movie. It's a huge stellar cast, and it's about the lives of soap actors in front of and behind the camera, and how banal, petty and childish they can be. They're always trying to outdo each other, trying to steal each other's jobs, each other's screen time. And it's a comic tour de force. It's excellently written. Carrie Fisher's in there. She does a cameo. It's just a wild, hilarious piece of film.
Well, we have a clip from it, actually, which includes Kevin Kline and Sally Field. Let's have a listen.
I will if it's that simple. I wish it was that simple.
This guy never heard of contact lenses?
The test results have come back.
And?
And I'm afraid the results are very disturbing. It seems that Angelique has a rare case of brake fluid. Bran fluid. Bran flavor.
Brake fever.
Brain fever.
Say it!
Brain fever.
Yes. Brain fever. Or what we call in Austria, Kopfgeschlagen, at the current rate of inflation. Her brain will laterally explore the...
Literally explode?
Exactly. Within the next three houses.
Hours?
Yes. It will literally explode within the next 3 hours. I would suggest leaving the restraint.
The restaurant?
Restaurant, yes.
Having problems with his teleprompter, autocue. Okay. And then you have Julianne Moore as your favourite actor. Why?
Everything I've seen her in just goes straight to my stomach, I guess. She's vivacious. She's really well able to handle so many different roles. She's elegant. She has a depth of power on the screen, and a depth of being able to carry a character in a way that I consider her like Daniel Day-Lewis or Marlon Brando. She just has subtlety and intensity to her. She's a true leading woman, and how she speaks about how she acts and how she learns how she acts is really masterful. She's wonderful, yeah.
And then for favourite director, you've got a man who's made some great movies. Boogie Nights, Magnolia, There Will Be Blood, The Master, Licorice Pizza. Paul Thomas Anderson is your choice. Tell us which of those movies and others have grabbed your attention.
I'm a big fan of Magnolia and There Will Be Blood. Part of my love for him is because of how he chooses music as well. So Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead did the music for There Will Be Blood. And I remember the first time I watched it just thinking, this is how you score a film. You know, it's so deftly used because there's not much in the score. It's just sound, basically. It's just clanging of metal just to create an uneasy feeling because it's such a suspenseful movie. And then there's Boogie Nights, which is just laden with heavy grooves, and it's filthy and crass and soft at the same time.
And then there's all the Amy Mann music on Magnolia.
Yes, yeah. And he gets the characters to sing at the end of the film, which just seems like it could fall flat on its face, but it really doesn't. I think he's a great ensemble gatherer. He knows how to choose his casting directors, and they do a great job. I think it seems like his movies are a joy to make. It just comes across in every which way of it, like the timing of scenes and how the scenes look, where they are, everything just seems to be super well thought out by a team that enjoys being around each other. So,
okay, plays and musicals and theatre show. You've given us a couple. Riot at the Dublin Fringe was your first choice.
Yeah. So Riot at Dublin Fringe had Panty Bliss and Lords of Strut. It was when it came out, I think it was 2018, and it was just such Riot is the perfect word for it. It mixes up Irish trad with Irish dancing and with what's it called when you have people swinging from the sky, like in a circus?
The trapeze.
in a trapeze. And it mixes that up with Emmett Kerwin's poetry. And so it's like a variety show. It's a 3-hour extravaganza of athleticism and poetry and art and singing. And everybody can do three things at once. When it came out, it was also nothing like it at the same time. And there was a character of Jesus Christ who was covered in balloons, and I just had never seen anything like it before. It was so random and brilliant.
Well, we actually had Philip McMahon did the Culture Club here recently, as it happens, as well. Tell us about Haydestown in the West End.
Haydestown was made roughly 20 years ago by an artist called Aeneas Mitchell. We are looked after by the same management, so we've become really good friends. And over time, I've just been watching the development of her show, which is now in its second time on Broadway for the fifth year, and just opened up in the West End for the second time. So there's an unreal joy, which I have tied to this album. I've been a fan of Aeneas since her first album. And it's... Haydestown is a musical for people who don't like going to musicals, I have to say. Aeneas Mitchell's lyrics are very much literature. She has studied literature. That's the world she comes from. And when that's mixed together with the most incredible production team that you can imagine in a show, it becomes more than just musical. It becomes almost a poignant... It's just a poignant piece of art that has hit the mainstream in a big way.
Okay, well, we're going to have to race towards the end, unfortunately, Wallace.
Yeah.
Favourite book, George Orwell's 1984 is your choice. Why so?
Just, it captured me. It's terrifying. It's prophetic. And it was written in 48. It's called 1984, and it could have been written in 2048. It's it watches what we've been doing and how we treat each other, and Big Brother, the idea of social systems being broken down so that we become we enslave ourselves. Yeah, it's terrifying and prophetic. Yeah.
And Margaret Atwood is your favourite author.
I feel like some of her work has taken, some of her recent work has taken off for 1984, picked up, laid down. And she's just a, well, Margaret Atwood is one of the greatest writers of modern times. And she recently took part in 100 Years From Now, where a book that she's written will only be released 100 years from now. So stuff like that. She's a very interesting character, beautiful writer.
Your TV shows are very different to your book choices, though. Starting with Friends, which you still find very funny, do you?
Yep, I do. When you look past all of the sexism, fatphobia, homophobia, when you look past those stupid, lazy jokes, you realise that's just some of the best written television of all time. I mean, it's still funny. It's still really quick, smarted. And... yeah, it's like a friend, actually. I stick it on in the background when it's still going. Yeah, it's brilliant.
And then the other choice is one of my favourites, although I haven't watched it five times like you have, Ozark.
Yeah, it's really brilliant. So Paul Bateman, I think is his name. Oh my God.
Jason Bateman,
thank you. Him and...
Laura Linney as well.
Laura Linney. Yeah, it's a story about a family that goes into dealing with drug users and laundering money. And it just gets more and more demented. The everything they touch turns to dirt. People die all around them. But you never really see that it is them. They're the problem. The family gets involved. The kids get involved. It's like Breaking Bad, only more depressing. I really do love terrible, very sad and depressing art. I love watching it. It keeps me chilled, actually.
There's also some great moments in Ozark you just do not see coming. There are particular cases where people get murdered out of nowhere, and it's, my God, yeah, what has just happened. It is terrific.
It really is.
Okay.
Paige Turner.
Now, to finish off, we're going to go with what you call a buried treasure. And this is a song by a group called The Roaches. It's called Hammond's Song. Why have you picked this?
I think this is going to be at my funeral, to be honest with you. When I heard this song, I was frozen in place and had to listen to it a second time. And I found that when I played it for anybody, the same thing happened to them. There's something about the frequencies with which it's recorded. It's the lyrics are about a tender love of your sibling just making wrong choices in their youth. And every time, like I say, I've played it in a room, people run across the room to hug somebody that knows it. It's a very tender, touching, surprisingly hypnotic piece. The vocals are so tight, sisterly. There's a blood harmony in there, and it's so simple and so unusual that it really stands out as one of my favorite songs I've ever heard.
Let's hear from the Roaches, Hammond Song. Song from the Roaches, which I have to say, Wallace Bird, if I heard that in a 1970s movie Paul Thomas Anderson had directed, you'd think it would certainly be of its time. We are out of time here though, unfortunately. Thank you so much for joining us. Really looking forward to hearing Visions of Venus, which you've recorded with Spark, the German classical quintet. But it has been great having you with us today. Thank you so much for doing this.
My pleasure. Thanks a million, Matt.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.